It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
My guest today is the wonderful, oh so talented, Tom Shalhoub. You've seen him on the Fox News Channel as a guest, a panelist on Gutfeld. He's an author, he's a singer, a comedian, a host on Fox Nation as well. He has a one-man show touring the U.S. this year and next year, which you'll hear about in our discussion. And this coming week, you can watch our one-hour special, and I was so excited to take part in it again, The Christmas Challenge. Featuring some of your favorite Fox people debating very controversial holiday-themed topics with some very funny and surprising quiz topics. It was even better than last year, if I do say so myself, and that's a pretty hard task. Guaranteed laughs and smiles the whole way through, and hosted by my wonderful guest today, Tom Shalhoub. Tom Shalhoub, you made the Dean's List.
Excellent.
Yay. It only took another year.
It was a year?
It's been a year because I had you on to talk about the awesome Christmas debate of 2022. And now we're talking about this brand new Fox Nation Christmas special. What's it called?
The Great Christmas Showdown.
Ah.
It's a showdown. It's not just a debate.
Yes. I feel that there's more bells and whistles this year.
Yeah. Because basically, we didn't want to just debate issues. We had to bring in lots of things. We brought in the audience.
Yes.
We have people out in the street asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a showdown to end all showdowns, except next year we'll probably do it again.
I hope so, because it gets better and better.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And I think the great thing for the Fox News and the Fox Nation fans is that they get to see the Fox News personalities kind of horsing around and having a good time.
Yes. Maybe more so than they ever thought of.
Yeah, I know, because we really...
Like Jimmy Fallon, I mean, he's off the charts.
Yes, but I mean, is he ever on the charts?
And also Raymond Arroyo.
Yeah, Raymond, great, and he's got a lot of Christmas spirit. He's touring his big Christmas album now.
I want him on the podcast, but he keeps saying he's so busy.
Yeah.
Can you make a phone call to him?
I will. I'll text him and say, Raymond, let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all sorts of things going on. I didn't know he was like a show tunes guy.
Total show tunes guy. And he's got a big band.
What?
Yeah, he recorded his Christmas album with a big band, and now he's touring with the big band. And he has Jose Feliciano coming, joining him
Feliz
on stage.
No, Feliz Navidad guy?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Frankie Avalon is joining him.
No.
Yeah, he's pulling
out all his
connections to the business.
Holy moly. And he decided to come on the broadcast for the Christmas showdown with us.
You want a little trivia?
Yes, I do.
Sean McCourt,
yep.
Fox News producer of the Christmas Showdown.
Yes.
I was talking to him about Raymond Arroyo, and he said, Raymond directed me in a play at NYU.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah?
Like, how old is Raymond Arroyo?
Oh, we can't. I mean we're not going to get into any of that.
Right. He has, like, some kind of magic because he looks like he's about 30 years old.
That's right. He's got a magic Christmas hat.
All right. Well, he's going to be coming up on an upcoming edition of the Janice Dean podcast. But for now, my friend, it's you. And you are touring as well. You've got a comedy show.
That's right. I have a show that I wrote about my parents. You know, after your parents pass away, you go through all your stuff. And my dad passed away a few years before my mom. My mom passed away last year. So we went into the house, went through all of the things, and I found what I call a treasure trove of poetry and prose in my father's filing cabinet.
He wrote?
He was a writer, a secret writer. Thousands and thousands of pages.
No!
Yes.
And you didn't know this about him?
I knew that he wrote verse because occasionally for someone's birthday or if someone was in the hospital, he would come out, Big Jack's in the sack at the hospital. And he would, you know, he would kind of do a little bit of a sing-songy verse, you know.
Yes.
He was an Irish guy who he was a literary guy. He was into storytelling, but I didn't know about this treasure trove.
Wow.
It was an amazing resource. So basically what I did was I took his writing and I made a show out of it.
Oh my goodness.
So I bring his writing to life on the stage.
Oh, this is so heartwarming.
It's wild. It's wild. He wouldn't have even approved. He was a private man. You know, he would write these, and some of it's very deep and very emotional, but he put it in the filing cabinet. And, you know, I say at the end of the show, I don't think my father would approve of me airing all of this secret writing on stage. And then I just look up and say, too late now, Dad.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me about that. What was that like when you first found those incredible pieces of paper?
It's amazing. I just kind of went up, you know, into my office space, and I spent months just going through it. And there's more. There's too much to put into a show.
Handwritten or typed?
A little of both, but okay. Mostly handwritten. He used to write on legal pads,
yes.
On yellow legal pads, and
yes.
Longhand. Both he and my mother had great the Palmer Method handwriting,
oh,
you know, from
yeah,
Catholic
beautiful.
School. And so my mom had a bunch of writing, her schoolwork and things like that in there. But she was an artist, so my mother's paintings and pastels and other drawings, they're featured in the show as well, because my mom left us a lot of watercolors, and she went through different phases of her art career, you know. Mm-hmm. So I tell stories about my mom, I tell stories about my dad, and then I kind of reveal through the writing. And then some family secrets came out that I didn't know about, and kind of, there's one secret about my mom and one about my dad, and they both come out at the end of the show.
Now, what would you call this? Is this, I thought it was comedy, but it sounds
it is.
More than that.
It is. I'm doing it in comedy clubs, which is a little bit, you know, weird. It's not a comedy club show. I mean, it is. I'm doing stand-up. I'm doing what I always do.
Okay.
I tell stories about my life. That's the way my stand-up is.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are points in the show when it is quite heartfelt and poignant. And so you don't expect that in a comedy club. So I tell people ahead of time, you're about to see a show that I wrote about my family.
Mm.
And I'm going to be bringing you back to Hyde Park in the 1940s. There's a whole letter my father wrote. And he brings his childhood to life in this amazing piece of writing. It's worth the whole show.
Oh.
And so I go there into the 40s. We play sentimental music from that period, and I try to bring that alive, you know, for my dad to do his writing justice. So you don't see that often in a comedy club, but they're ready for it. You know, I tell them this is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So
what about, would you put this? Would you give this a Fox Nation special idea?
I don't know. There's something about live theater that I really love.
Yes.
And sometimes when you see theater reproduced in video, it mm-hmm. doesn't have that specialness. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens after I tour with it for a while.
What's the reaction from the audience?
I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's emotionally, you know, people cry. They come up after and they say, you know what? I found my, you know, I went up in the attic and I found my mom's old stuff, or I just went through my dad's military papers and I found out things about, you know, everyone
yes.
has these things.
Mm-hmm.
They find out, and you know what? The generation, our parents, they were private people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't talk about all these things. So sometimes when they went through something emotional, like my dad did, I mean, there's the crux of the emotional part of the show is that my dad lost a friend in the 80s, and I didn't know it. I knew he was going through something.
Wow.
Because I was 19 and I had, you know, my own things going on.
Mm-hmm.
I knew my dad was experiencing something. He had a kind of an emotional crisis, but he didn't share it with me. And so I kind of talk about those moments that I knew my dad was going through something, but I didn't know what. And now I found out because I read this letter that he wrote back then.
Wow. You know, Sean, my husband's parents died during COVID, and sort of the same story. When they went to the apartment that they lived in for over 50 years in Brooklyn, they found letters that mom and dad wrote to the kids that never gave them to them until they found them after they passed away. Very powerful. And I think that they meant that. They meant the letters to be written but not given to the kids.
And what did it say on the letter?
It said, was just addressed to whichever child. So there's three, Michael, Sean, and Donna. And there were letters addressed and sealed. And when they did open them, they realized it was their parents' way of working something out. They wanted to talk to the kids, but found it was hard, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So Donna would find out there was, like, you know, the dad or the mom didn't like the boyfriend she was dating. It was a way for them to express what was going on, but that they weren't able to convey to them at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think that that's more common than we think.
Well, there were five letters in my dad's filing cabinet that were supposed to be given to us after his requiem mass, after his funeral. And, nobody knew they were there. So he wrote all these letters. He sealed them. They were in the cabinet. And then he forgot to tell my mom, hey, by the way, when the moment happens, there's letters.
How was that? Did you have to sit down and sort of mentally prepare yourself for that?
Well, I just, I opened it up. I read it. And then my wife said, did you call your brothers and sisters to see what was in their letter? I said, no.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. It was for them. It was between my dad and them.
Yeah. Absolutely. What does your family think of the show?
Oh, I mean, my wife, loves it. She's seen it. I'm probably going to bring her to the show many more times, but the kids got to see it. Luckily they knew my dad. They had time to get to know their grandma and grandpa, So, I think they enjoy the show, and I think it was fun for them to see me working it out. I spent 6 months going through all these letters, and there were a number of different shows I could have done because I have my dad's military papers. I have his dad's military papers.
Wow.
So there was a lot of stuff with his father, my dad's father, Dennis, that is not in the show. I wanted to include him because there's many generations. He was also a secret poet, Dennis, his grandfather. Because I found some writing. And then there was one, it was like Little Michael on, with the sunshine in his hair. I'm like, Little Michael? Who's Little Michael? And then I realized this was a poem written by my dad's dad. So there was, it keeps going back.
So do you think your dad found the paper, found these poems and writings?
I wonder. I wonder if he was also.
After his dad died?
Perhaps.
Wow.
There's not many of them. There's only a few poems from his father.
Yeah.
But, like father, like son. But, I'm sure that he was also a private man, But you find out a lot through these military letters that these, that were written back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a book. Did you think about that? I mean,
yeah.
I think this is something that people would love to see.
Yeah. Well, I like to work things out on stage. So I did the show. I wrote the whole thing and then I did it. And then I do it again and I change it.
Yes.
So that's when I tour, I change the show as I go along, mm-hmm. and I find out things about it,
Wow. And how long does the show continue?
It's an hour. The show's an hour, and I don't know how long. I mean, I'm just taking it out on the road and trying it out.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, are you going across country? Can people find out where they can go see the play?
Yeah, if you go to TomShalhoub.com, the dates are on there. Right now I have 6 or 7 dates. I'm doing Albany, I'm doing Syracuse, Boston, Providence. I don't like to go that far, but sometimes. I just did Dallas. I did Fort Worth and Houston.
Yep.
Who came to see me in Houston?
Who?
Lee Majors.
Lee Majors, the $6 million man.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, did he come backstage?
Yes. He came back.
What was that like? He's the $6 million man.
Greg, he called Greg and said, hey, your buddy, the guy from your show who does Biden, I want to see his show because he saw that I was coming to Houston.
Yeah.
So Greg gave him my number.
Greg Gutfeld.
Yes.
Okay.
And so
does Greg know Lee Majors?
Yes. Yes. Greg has interviewed him and I think he was on Red Eye originally, and then he might have done the Gutfeld show.
Okay.
But they talk, they text. He's one of these people.
Yes.
After the show, people text Greg.
I love that.
And so it was great to see him, obviously. And then I called Greg after. I said, can you believe it, Greg? You and I were, when we were kids, we had, the $6 million man.
Of course.
This was pre-Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Before Star Wars,
a big deal.
It was Lee Majors,
yep.
The $6 million man. That's what we played in our backyard.
And the Bionic Woman.
Yes. Lindsay,
what was her name? I can't remember. But anyway.
Lindsay Wagner.
Yes, Lindsay Wagner.
She had such feminine superpowers. She could overhear things. Isn't that so classic?
That's right.
It was all men writing these shows, but it's like, let's see, what would a superhero woman have? It's like, she's always overhearing things. What did you just say?
It's so true. And so he came backstage and clearly he must have been touched by the show.
Yeah. And he was great, and he talked shop like we were fellow actors. That's the greatest thing about it. People who are performers, they sit down and they want to talk about, he's like, what's your process like, you know? And, you know, did you have a director? I did have a director, a guy named Greg Wolf, a great director from New York who he's directed me in so many things. So yeah. I went to him. Mm-hmm. I went to the people that I started in the business with, you know? And so, you know, and Lee Majors is talking about his career. He's still, you know, these people, they never stop,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about, he says, yeah, you know, I just did a film in New Zealand.
Holy
but,
moly.
You know, I'm not getting the scripts I used to get. You know, that's the way people are.
Yeah.
They want to keep, you know, they're in the business.
That's right. And they keep going. I told you I interviewed John O'Hurley the other day. Same thing. Doing movies in Greece.
Yeah.
Still performing. Doing Broadway. You know, coming up with his own way to do a show. I think it's just in their blood.
Yeah.
They love it.
They're not going to stop.
Exactly.
And he had such a career before. People know him. They're like, okay, from Seinfeld. He's the guy, you know, that character. And
yes.
the act is like, that's what started him.
Right.
But that was at the, you know, that could have been the middle, the end of a long career.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
The good thing is, he's one of those people that you can, you know, you don't know if you broach a subject, if they've talked about it too much or they don't want to talk about it anymore. He just will talk about anything and still has that love of the Jay Peterman character, and actually did a whole, I would say, like 60 seconds of that character for me.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Oh, he's great.
He is really great. I love that.
A classic showbiz guy. He's like, he can host game shows.
Everything. He did Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He was People's Most Beautiful Man or something like that at one point.
He was?
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
There's still hope for me.
Oh, of course there is. You mean they haven't called yet?
They haven't called. They keep giving it to McDreamy.
Oh. You know, I have to say that he was the most recent sexiest man alive. I'm not sure what it is. But you look at the cover and he looks really mad.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well,
it looked like he was kind of PO'd.
Isn't that the way you're supposed to look? Like
I
the,
don't. It
that
like,
just
it
male
like
model look. They
there.
Always look like they're, you know.
That's not sexy to me. That's just like, why am I here?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So the Biden character that you do, is that's got to be one of your most popular.
I mean, it's funny because these things happen this way.
They take
I'm
on
not
a new life.
Yeah. And I'm not an impressionist. You know, I started doing stand-up and you work with impressionists
yes.
all the time, but it's not something you ever do.
Right.
I came up with a bunch of impressions when I auditioned for Saturday Night Live in the late 90s, probably 99.
You auditioned for Saturday Night Live?
Yes. I mean,
what?
It's at some point you get, but I didn't have the live audition. For you have to submit a tape.
Oh,
so,
what did you do?
I think I did a bunch of different impressions.
Okay.
I think Nicolas Cage and Kevin Spacey. Like, I did whatever characters I could
All right.
come up with at the time that were, you know, celebrities. And then maybe some old movie stars. I can't even remember. But I never did impressions. I could always do it,
yes.
but it wasn't something I did. You know, if it's not something you excel at, you leave that to other people.
Uh-huh.
And then I started doing Adam Schiff for Gutfeld.
Oh, my goodness.
And the people loved that character.
I mean, you nail it.
But I was getting sick of doing it, you know, Adam Schiff every day, you know. And I had to put on that rouge on my
yes.
cheeks. So I'm thinking like, am I going to, every day on Gutfeld, I got to, you know, do the Adam Schiff. So I'm trying to think of something else to do. And I said, and Greg said to me, hey, you know, we got to come up with a Schiff. And he said, but he's not in the news this week. And I said, I wouldn't mind taking a shot at Biden.
Okay.
And he said, oh, really? Like, he hadn't thought of it.
Right.
So I did something up. I did it and I sent it to him and he said, oh, great. He put it on the show that night.
Wow.
And then someone said, we got to have more of that. So I started doing it. And then I'm doing it Biden every day for the next 40 days. Right. So. That's the way it goes.
Does he give you a topic of what Joe Biden would talk about, or you come up with it?
He gives me his monologue. So if it's the monologue, then he sends me his monologue, and it mentions the White House or Joe or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he'll say, I wonder what Joe thinks. And that's all he leaves me.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a great amount of trust between you two.
Oh, yeah. No, Greg is very much, I wouldn't say he's hands off. He's very hands on the show. But he knows what he wants, and then he trusts the people around him.
Yes.
So he'll say that. I mean, he'll, to the writers, you know, to Joe Mackey, to Joe DeVito, you know, go go do this. Do the sketch. And he lets them do it. They shoot it and they pop it on the show.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And he kind of likes when you roll with the punches too. When it, you know, he doesn't know what's going to come out of your mouth.
No. And he doesn't even know what the, he tells me with the Joe Biden, he watches it for the first time on the show.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, you know, we do it through the producers. I send it in. They cut the thing. They put it into the show. And then Greg watches it because he likes to be entertained as he's doing the show.
I love that though.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't like that. They want to micromanage till the very second.
No, and it's good. It's good for his sanity.
Yeah.
It's also good for the show because I think people have the sense that, you know, when they look at a lot of these other late night shows, they're some of them, it's very impressive.
Very
they have huge writing staffs. They come up with some good stuff, but it's very planned.
Mm-hmm.
Greg's show is, the panel is unplanned.
Yep.
People ask, do they tell you what, you know, what to say? No, nobody.
No.
It's
they
totally
give you the
winged.
Topic and you don't know if he's going to call on you or not.
Yeah.
Which is also can be very scary.
Yes. And sometimes they'll come back to you. You think, okay, I'm done. And then he'll come back, you know, because
right.
there'll be more time left in the segment.
Yeah.
But with the looseness of the panel, if the sketches are too rigid, it's not going to match the feel. So there's a thrown together sense about it. You can see that we shoot all the sketches here in the Fox building.
You know?
It's like, it's like here we are in the White House. No, you know, it's the Fox Cafe.
Yeah.
So it's low budget. You can tell we shot it on our iPhones that day.
Yeah. Because you do. You shoot it on your iPhone.
Yeah. But that's fun. That's the way that there's a lot of successful YouTube shows that people shoot on their iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need the all this, you know, Hollywood production.
Yeah.
Get the idea, throw it together. And then if you can see where the seams are, sometimes that makes it fun.
Yeah. So you're sick of Schiff. Now, are you sick of Biden?
Yes.
You are.
But you know, I don't mind doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
We just did one on the show with Dr. Drew. And it was his idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and I think it was Dr. Drew's wife, I think, she said, hey, why don't you do that? And he called me. He said, oh, you know, my wife had a good idea. How about Dr. Drew giving Joe Biden a cognitive test? So we went up into my office.
Okay.
We shot it. And
like
it's hard
one take?
It's hard to shoot because I've got to do isolation on me because of the way
okay.
I do the,
right,
the
yes.
my secret Joe Biden
yes.
look, you know? So we had to shoot separate things between me and Dr. Drew. So
okay.
we shot it, but we shoot it all on an iPhone.
Yep.
And so it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll post that online.
It's, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What about your singing? I mean, you are a barbershop quartet member.
Yeah, I like to sing barbershop. We were just up in the Barbershop Harmony Society. It was our 20-year anniversary of our Northeast District Championship.
Wow.
In 2003, we won the Northeast District Cup, and we'd been trying to get that for some time.
Okay.
So that's our biggest honor. We didn't win the whole, there's a whole country.
Oh.
You know, it's the international
competition.
But you
won the Northeast District.
Northeast District champions. And it was our 20-year anniversary. So we went back to the convention and we were kind of honored as veterans. We used to be the young guys, you know, now we're the old pros.
And you still do it.
Yeah. It's the same quartet that we started singing with in the late 80s.
Yep.
The first time we did it was when I was in high school. So 1984 would have been the first iteration of the quartet. And it was two of the guys are the same from that. But we kind of hobbled together this group. And I would say 86, 87, we've been together since then.
Oh, my gosh. How do you do all of this?
I mean,
how do
it's
you fit
just,
it all in?
Well, there's so many things that I have that are basically hobbies.
Yes.
That are like lifelong hobbies.
Yep.
But I keep adding to them. You know, I love sailing. I recently got my ham radio license.
Oh my gosh, my husband did too.
He did?
He's a crazy person.
And he's a, is he a fire or a first responder? What's his?
He's a fireman.
Fireman,
but this is something he's always wanted to do, is do the ham radio thing. Yep, he got the license.
Oh, we gotta make a CQ.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm gonna go home and he's gonna be thrilled to know that there's another person that he can contact about this.
Well, I'm KE2BRQ. That's my radio station. When you're a ham, it's amateur radio.
Right.
So, you know, I've done professional radio. I'm going the other direction.
Wow. Have you gone to the little meetings?
Yes. They're a heck of a lot of fun.
It's very interesting, the people that are there.
It's not much different from barbershop. It's a lot of old guys who know a lot of technical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the amateur radio guys, a lot of them know more about actual radio than the pros because they're working with the equipment. Yeah. It's like, remember Radio Shack? That's what it was.
Yes.
It was ham radio guys. They know how to build a radio out of circuits, you know,
and
a soldering gun.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by these guys. I love the technology and I love the idea of being able to get on my radio.
Yep.
And reach out and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke to someone the other day from, you know, it was, I don't know, somewhere down in Virginia.
Yeah.
Down on the coast, you know, and he was in his little shack down there. And I made contact with him and I write down his call sign.
Okay.
And I'm Kilo Echo 2 Bravo Romeo Quebec. So you got to know the
Yeah, you do. I remember he studied all of that stuff because I guess you have to make it do a
test.
You got
to pass the test.
That's right. And it's not just some joke test.
No, you got to tell them all about the radio waves.
Yeah.
And you know,
Morse code too?
They don't make you do the Morse code. They used to.
But you have to know it a little bit.
Yeah, you have to know the you have to know the lingo.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call that? The military you know, the Alpha Bravo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Well, if Sean was here, you guys would be going to town on all of this. I don't
know.
Yeah.
Do you
really
know his call sign?
I don't, but I can find that out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd love that.
Make contact.
Oh, and what do you do? Like, how do you start the conversation? Anybody out there?
You can say CQ.
Oh.
And I think it means like CQ is the letters CQ.
Okay.
But I think it comes from seek. You, like you're seeking.
Oh, interesting.
I think that's what it is. I mean,
so that's what you do. You go on
here.
And you say, seek you, and then anybody from wherever?
Find, yeah, and you can just say you're monitoring. So you'll go on, you find some radio airspace that you're licensed to be in. There are certain bands that you're allowed in, certain that you're not.
Right.
But you can go on there, and you might hear some traffic. You might hear some guys talking. So they might be just chewing it a little bit, and then you wait. You know, there's kind of an etiquette. So you wait for some space, and then I'll come in, KE2BRQ, Kiwi Echo 2, Kilo Echo 2, Bravo Romeo Quebec, and I say my call sign, and then I say I'm monitoring, so they know I'm there, I'm listening, and then they might come back with my call sign and their call sign, and I write down there. It's a lot of it's just guys writing down each other's call signs. We're just collecting names.
Like, do you talk about the weather?
Sometimes we get the call sign and then it's like, all right, that's all I need. It's the guys keep logbooks of just the call signs, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never, this is the most in-depth conversation I've had about this, and it wasn't with my husband.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, honey, that's awesome. Yeah, great.
Does he have a big antenna on the roof?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he does have a ball cap with his call letters on
it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just expect that that's going to happen soon, maybe over the holidays.
Yeah.
So when do you do that?
I mean, just, you know, in spare time,
right.
I'll go up. There's a meeting every night at 8, and it's called a net.
Okay.
And a lot of people go on, and that's literally, you just check in, and you say your call sign, and that's it.
And
if
that's
you start jabbering, they'll say, hey, this is not what it's about.
Oh, wow. A
bunch of people, and I always call them guys. It's not all guys either.
Because, of course.
You know, there's women on the thing.
I'm
but
sure
I,
they don't mind.
No. I mean, it's like she's there. She's one of the guys. But the... this is what amazes my wife, because I'll come down stairs after the meeting and she's like, I just heard you. It's just a bunch of people saying their call sign. I'm like, yeah, but they're checking in. It's kind of like, you know, the emergency broadcast system.
Yes,
with the tone.
Of course.
These hams, they're ready in case there is an emergency.
Yes.
If there's a flood, if there's a thing, these
it's
guys have to
deal.
Be ready. You want to make sure. So every night you go on and you kind of participate in this net. And it's just making sure that the lines are open, the traffic's ready, you know, that kind of thing.
When the poop goes down,
the
hams are there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. They get involved.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this. So, okay, the Christmas special, which we originally started talking about, the rest of this has been amazing. It's going to start this week. It's really funny. And I'm not just saying that because I'm part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a really good time.
It's a great time. And it's funny how you can have such laughs over such mundane topics.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about, you know, do you like colored lights on your tree or white lights? You know, and is the Polar Express, is it creepy or is it a classic?
Right.
And people say, why creepy? You know, because because the animation, it creeps some people out.
Yeah. And the Die Hard Christmas movie topic comes up.
It comes up once again.
It was,
I think we I think we have an answer.
I think we settled it.
We settled it, and I'm not sure which way it goes.
Oh, I know which way it went. Oh, I know. And you're going to find out. And you'll never debate it again after you hear what I have to say. And then what are you doing for Christmas? What's going on in your house?
You know, we don't do a whole lot. I, being the kind of Fox News personality I am, you know, this is where I get a lot of my work around the holidays. I'll fill in for Greg.
Aww.
I'll fill in for this host.
Okay.
I'll guest host over here, you know. So usually I stick around. We don't like to travel very far anyway.
Yep.
So Thanksgiving, we're probably going to do a little thing in the morning with the Sisters of Life. We love to help those. And my wife works with the Sisters of Life.
And that's amazing.
So we're going to go see them. And I think we're going to bring them some bagels and things like that.
Very nice.
And then we're going to come back and have a nice meal at home.
Uh-huh.
And Christmas, we always kind of do the same thing. My wife's Italian. Italian-American,
yep.
You know, so...
So the seven
fishes? We do
fishes.
The fishes, yeah, on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And then we usually have dinner at our place on Christmas.
Are you a cook?
I'm not really.
Okay.
You know what? That's something... There are certain things that I don't do. I'm a painter. I like,
yep.
I like being... You know, I'm an artist. I like writing. I like doing the ham radio. I like sailing. So cooking, I would love to do. I have, you know... I think I might be good at it if I got good at it.
Really? You'd like to find out? I don't know.
You think think I should just cross that off my list?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have no desire whatsoever.
Really?
I'm just glad that Sean can cook, because otherwise our children would be starving right now.
Yeah, you got to have one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, firemen, there is a lot of firemen cooks.
That's where he learned how to cook, and that's where his father learned how to cook, is in the firehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great recipes that come out of the firehouse kitchen. So I want to see you on tour. I want the list of where you're going to be performing. How do we find that?
It's on TomShalhoub.com. I just was on Gutfeld yesterday, and so I had them put up my dates and times and everything on there. And I know people say, hey, well, you got to come here. You got to come here. I like to get out of town when I can. I'm going to be, I think I just signed on to do St. Louis. But I do want to come to your town.
Yes.
And I don't mind if you yell at me.
How can we do that? Oh, you yell at you in the audience?
Well, no, they can email.
On social
people
media?
Email me all the time. Why don't you come to Phoenix? Why don't you come here? And I say, I will. You know, you can't go everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I have a job. I mean, I'm not a touring comedian. I work on Fox News. And then when I get some time, I hit the road. And I do shows with Gutfeld. So
how is that? That must be so
great.
Much fun. How does that work out?
That's great. I mean, we play these massive venues.
Yep.
I come out. I open the show with stand-up.
Okay.
And then I bring out Greg.
Do you interview him?
Yes.
Okay.
And I kind of take him through. So I do a half hour myself, then I bring out Greg, and we spend an hour together on the stage.
Yep.
And we sit in these wonderful easy chairs, and
I
we show
that.
Slides.
It's fantastic.
And so I have the slide clicker, so I kind of keep Greg disciplined, because he'll go off.
Like, what do you talk about? What kind of slides do you show?
We show slides of, you're in it.
I am?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. We will show slides of you. I mean, he did a whole thing on you, you know, when you're, you know, the tragedy with COVID and you're
Cuomo.
And, yes.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a slide that was Cuomo on one side and you on the other. Or I think it was like Cuomo and they got the booze and then I advanced it and then it was you and everyone cheered.
Oh my goodness.
And so Greg had a whole bit about how you... He said, you know, Cuomo, they said that, you know, he was taken down by that scandal. He wasn't taken down by the scandal. He was taken down by Janice Dean.
Oh,
and everyone went, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so, I have a swell of emotion right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, I love all of you guys. I mean, that's the special sauce around here, is that what you see on TV is really true.
Yeah.
You know, and if Greg Gutfeld, you know, thinks, you know, you guys can't get along, then he's not going to have you on the program. You know, it's just the way it is. But we all really do enjoy each other, like each other's company, and want the other to succeed.
Yes.
You know?
I think there's definitely, you know, people say, oh, is there a lot of competition around there? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? It's like we're all sharing the airspace here, and everybody helps each other out. And you better be nice to each other, because, you know, If you see that, you know, Jesse Waters is running around and he's like assisting Bill O'Reilly, Jesse Waters is going to be on at 8 o'clock pretty soon. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, so true.
These, you can see people, and watch out for Johnny, because
is Jesse's assistant.
I
know he's going to have his own
show. He's got him out on the street doing the, and I'm thinking like, geez, Jesse has a lot of confidence. I mean, you know, he was out there on the street and now he's like in O'Reilly's time slot.
Yes.
Just think of what Johnny's going
to. It's so true. It really is. And it's a testament to this place wanting everyone to do well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And giving opportunities. I mean, I started as a guest on Red Eye.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what happened when, you know, Greg said, How did that happen? Well, I was doing Red Eye a lot and the audience responded. So Greg knew I was one of the you know, one of the favorites on the panel. So I did the show a lot. And then Greg said, I'd like to get you in over here. I want them to see you, you know, as a, you know, as a Fox News contributor. He says, I know you could do a lot of good things here. And I said, you know, I wouldn't mind hosting Red Eye to show them I could do it.
Okay.
And he said, how about tomorrow night? So he sat on the panel.
No.
Greg moved down to the panel.
What?
And he let me host the show.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, then I had my demo tape right there.
That is an incredible story. I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
That's what he would do to help you out. Is be a panelist so that you could host his own show.
Yeah.
That's incredible. What an awesome story.
Yeah.
It just makes me love him even more.
I know.
I know he does. He likes to be sort of that curmudgeon-y guy.
If he were here, he'd be like,
whatever.
I didn't want to. I had a sore throat and you ruined it. And they canceled Red Eye because of you, Shalou. He always says that. He knows I did a great job with his show.
Of course he did. Well, you're such a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you on during the holidays. So thank you for that. And my husband is obviously going to be on the ham radio trying to get your attention at some point.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how you do it. I could just, you know, I could tell him to meet me on this channel at this time, but we don't want to do it that way.
Okay.
You know, I'm just going to look out for him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to look up his call sign. I can look it up. We know.
You can?
Yes, because I'm in the club.
There's a book that you can go into?
Yeah, it's QRZ. It's called QRZ, you know, because we use the... You go on to QRZ.
Yep.
You punch in the call sign and up comes the name, or you punch in the name and up comes the call sign.
I love that.
But you probably couldn't do it.
No, I don't want to do it.
Because I'm signed in. I'm a member of QRZ, you know.
So I feel that this could be a stand-up routine right now.
I know. I don't, you know, I have to do it for a while.
Okay.
And I don't know enough about it. Because if I'm up there making jokes about the ham radio community.
Oh, yeah. You
got to be
careful.
And those old guys are like, what? You can't lampoon us. We lampoon you.
Right. This is it's hallowed ground. This is important. Yeah. You don't want to insult those guys.
No. That's why it's good to do all these new things. I'm humbled when I take up a new hobby by the people who are good at it. It's always good to be bad at something because that's something that's why young people pick up on things so readily. A lot of people say, oh, well, young people, they're just better at learning. They can learn languages, whatever. They can learn instruments. It's harder for old people. You know what it is? You know what's hard? It's hard for old people to suck it up and be bad at something.
Mm.
So when you pick up the guitar, like I did a couple of years ago, try to pick up a string instrument. Yes.
Okay.
And you have to learn how to play. You got to go home every day and you got to put in a half hour of being lousy.
Yes.
And then you got to be lousy and you got to be lousy and you got to be bad for 6 months, a year, you know, whatever, how long it takes. And then all of a sudden you can play your first song and you can sing. So that's the thing is, young people are very comfortable at being bad at things because they're bad at everything because they're young.
They're just learning.
Yeah. And I think people, when they're older, they think that their brain doesn't work as well anymore.
I do.
It's just patience. It's it's sucking it up and it's putting in that, you know, it's not a lot. You don't have to do it all day.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes a day, you're going to get better at it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great life lesson that maybe people don't realize.
Like, yeah.
I just realized that, like, you're right. There are certain things that I still want to do, but I kind of write them off because I'm like, oh, that's going to take time and I'm going to be bad at it.
Yeah.
But that's the secret of life.
Yes.
Is learning to do things and having an eye-opening moment that I still can do this.
Yep.
That's tremendous. Tom Shalhoub, you're just the best. And the Christmas special is coming up this week. It's going to drop. It is called The
Great Christmas Showdown.
Right. And it's fun and amazing, and it will, I don't know, we need those shows right now, Tom.
Yeah.
Like the world feels like it's on fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you for that, and I want to come see your show. So thank you for doing that too. And I think there's a book or a movie in there too. I know that you want to, you know, refine it and do well as a stand-up act, but I think you can reach people with writing all of this down too.
Yeah.
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 So let me help you with that.
Okay, will do.
All right, my friend.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Thanks again, Tom Shalhoub, for a wonderful conversation. He really is one of a kind. I so enjoy working with Tom. And you don't want to miss the Great Christmas Showdown. It's dropping this week, starting December 4th, on Fox Nation. So much fun. I promise you will laugh and smile the whole way through with some of your favorite Fox folks. So check that out. And if you want to find out more about Tom's one-man show, or if he might be appearing with Gutfeld on tour in your neighborhood, you can check out his very own website. For all the details, it's TomShalhoub.com. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at FoxNewsPodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.